they tell you that one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Well, at least that song does. I don't even like that song, but, you know, there it is. And we only have one Peggy's Challenge participant this week, and this would be Scott from Langley, British Columbia.
Steadfast contributor to Ask an Atheist.
Ardent supporter of the show, fairly angry that we haven't made it all the way up to Vancouver yet, which is what? I guess like 14 feet from here?
Something like that.
That's about 4 hours.
It is a 4 hour drive. It is nearby.
That's watermelon spitting seed spitting distance, right?
If you were to build a device, yeah. Oh, now I have plans. Tune in next week as I build a watermelon spitting device.
Science project, yeah.
But what Scott is unhappy about is the upcoming Ask an Atheist national tour. Becky and I are going to be driving around the country. We're going to be going down the West Coast through Arizona, and from there, maybe through Texas, maybe through Oklahoma, to Chicago. So if you are in Western Mississippi, or Western Mississippi.
West of the Mississippi.
West of Mississippi. What is my deal? And, give us a call, 253-584-1480, and you can go to our website, askanatheist.tv, click on the shiny red button, and let us know, that you want us to come visit. Actually, yeah, call today, now, let us know that you want to visit. It's been a weird week for news, hasn't it?
It has. It has been...
I'm not doing transitions. I've just decided I'm going to stop talking about one thing, start talking about the next.
Yes, and I think, what's the next thing that you're talking about, Sam? Weird news?
I really like this one. This is one we neglected to do last week. This is a sociologist who likens autistic children to atheists. In Turkey, a sociologist and chair of a childhood autism association caused a stir when he revealed his unorthodox beliefs about autism and atheism. Dr. Femi Kaya has said that the autistic children do not know how to believe in God because their brains lack a faith section. Therapy sessions for about 30 kids will begin in June and will include religious awareness training. Kaya also reportedly asserted that atheism is a form of autism. Fellow Turks have decried the statement. Decried these statements. Engin Genger, the president of the Association of Protection of Autistic Children, urged the media to be cautious about giving public credence to the statements.
I would imagine so, and I think there's more people than just fellow Turks that have decried these statements.
Yeah.
I think atheists, I think autistic people, I think autistic atheists have decried these statements, I think religious people have decried these statements, religious autistic people have decried these statements. There just seems to be so much wrong in this kind of association.
To me, it just screams quackery. Is there any scientific proof to back this up?
Well, I can't chapter and verse you right here, Hardy Har.
Or either that, or is it backed up by Dr. Oz?
No, there's some real, okay. There is some studies out there that there are functions of the brain, that there are portions of the brain that are used in religious belief that aren't used in some other things.
They do functional fMRI, fMRIs, yeah. They do functional magnetic resonance imaging of people that are undergoing religious experiences, and you see certain parts of the brain light up. There's a lot of activity in one part, and, you know, someone who's having an ecstatic religious experience, that will light up. But interestingly enough, there's a lot of things that they've found will light up that same part of the brain, like listening to music that you feel very connected to, like having a drug-induced ecstatic moment. So lots of things.
And there was a neurological researcher out there who, again, name escapes me, actually tried to directly, excite those parts of the brain to induce sort of religious phenomenon in people.
Yeah, I believe that was the God helmet.
Yes,
that was,
the God helmet. Yeah,
yeah. I remember hearing about that on some NPR show. Actually,
I kept thinking Mega Man. I just
essentially what I believe this thing was someone was placed in an isolation chamber, and then they put this electromagnetic helmet on that excited that part of the brain, and people said that they saw saw God.
Right. So I think it's possible. I mean, there are parts of the brain that are involved in religious belief. And if something is wrong with those parts of the brain, then you might have a problem. But to call that autism is bad to people who are autistic. And it's bad to atheists. It's a statement of belief is suddenly, there's an atheist argument about this that I hear a lot.
What if I was to say that your inability to have reason and logic, like, I don't even like to make this argument because it makes me sound like them.
Yeah.
If you don't believe exactly how I do, then I would I would call you autistic.
I'll be honest with you. I've heard that argument a lot more than the atheism is a form of autism argument.
And I hate that. I hate that kind of argument.
You know, this Dr. Femi Kaya, he has since clarified his statements, or at least tried to clarify his statements by saying things like, no, I didn't mean that atheistic people were autistic, or that this isn't about atheism or religion or autism. It's that, autistic kids are just disabled, and the way that we teach them empathy is through religion. But then, I could say maybe you were maybe well-meaning, but seriously, you're a sociologist, you're a researcher, you've got to have something stronger than that.
Yeah.
And then he followed it up with, normal kids, and I love his use of the word normal, kids normally have a belief in God, and they understand how to be God-fearing. We just need to teach these autistic kids that. And I'm like, that's how you teach empathy, is by fear?
I would be a little worried about challenging his language usage when it's probably translated.
Yeah, the story does come to us from Hurriyet Daily News, which is the English language Turkish news online.
Yeah.
So yes, I do imagine that it has been translated, but
so from Turkey to Texas, we have an interesting update about cheerleaders who want to display Bible verses during football games. A judge has ruled that cheerleaders from a Southwest Texas high school may display banners with Bible verses at football games. State District Judge Stephen Thomas determined that the Constitutional Establishment Clause does not prohibit religious banners at school sports events. The Coots County School District, which put a stop to displays after being advised by the Freedom from Religion Foundation, is expected to appeal or to seek clarification on whether the cheerleaders' messages are private speech.
I wonder how the reaction from the community would be if someone decided to put a Quran quote on a banner.
I think we have a fair idea about what that would be. Becky, this is something you've been following because I know it's educational stuff. So what's going on here? They put up a banner with Bible verses, and then the team runs through it or something?
Yeah, I mean, there are these, large butcher block posters that have, painted things on them. And, it's very...
So they're made out of wood?
No. Butcher block paper.
Oh, okay.
The paper.
Like,
wow,
those are good football players. I know Texas is really into football, but that's a bit much.
Well, don't you remember those big rolls of paper that, yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
so it's the nice colored paper, and then you take the tempera paints and you write nice and inspirational things on them. Our leadership committee at school does that too. But you have these big papers, and then your football team runs through them or bursts through them. And the thing is that it's not just Bible verses that they have. It's stuff like if God can be on our side, then victory will be ours. Things like that.
It's
well established that students on an individual basis can pray, but this is a school thing.
Yeah, that guy with the John 3:16 sign and the rainbow wig, he's doing it on his own. He's showing up at a public event and showing it. These cheerleaders are there to represent the school. I think there's a representational thing going on there.
They're also using school materials to make this kind of thing.
That
people could take that as an implication that the school endorses this message.
So last week, I suggested that perhaps the Church of Satan get involved in some things. And this isn't a time when I'm going to suggest it again. I almost think I need to get in contact with some, just to start a trolling group.
I like that idea.
I would love to go to Texas. This is one of those fantasies that you have when you want to be a bad guy. I would go to these things, and I would have like football players running through quotes from the Anton LaVey book, or specifically there's a particular quote, I think it's from Ezekiel, that people who are no longer religious love to quote about donkeys. Why don't they use that one? It's biblical. It's allowed. I think it would be fine.
Does it have anything to do with football? Because,
have anything to do with football?
Well, victory and strength. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the thing is, that presumes that the losing team or the losing football team just didn't have Christ on their side.
Yeah.
Which, when you're setting up a public school sporting event that way, I can't imagine how this is...
She was into sex seems a lot safer than God is going to destroy the opposing football team.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Honestly.
But what if the other team was doing the exact same thing?
Yeah.
God can't be for both people at the same time.
I have no idea. So, what could they do about this? What I like about this is that the school is trying to do the right thing. The FFRF advised them, and the school stopped. So I think the school district, the Coons County School District, does deserve some credit here, in that when they were advised that they might be violating the Establishment Clause, they applied, and then legal clarification was sent. or was asked for. This didn't work out in our favor. It may be appealed. It may not be appealed. But this is the process working, and this is a school district doing the right thing.
And given the region of the country that it's in, I imagine that the religious people are probably going to win.
Well, it's a federal school. It's a federal court, so it's a crapshoot.
It was a district court initially. We don't know how far up the chain this will go. I mean, it could go to federal court. But yeah, I'm waiting for that poster that says she lusted after her lovers whose genitals were like those of donkeys.
Okay. So, well, what happens when the football team isn't allowed to run through Bible quotes anymore? They could take their ball and go home, like this sixth grade school. The sixth grade school, the Riverdale School District of Lake City, Arkansas, has canceled its sixth grade graduation ceremony rather than hold it without prayer. A cease and desist letter was sent to the school on behalf of a parent that protested the tradition of a pastoral invocation. Conflicting reports attributed to the letter alternately to the ACLU and the FFRF. Disappointed parents are rallying to hold an alternative ceremony at a local church. So they were going to have a sixth grade graduation ceremony, and I'll be honest with you, that's a ceremony I've never really quite understood.
A lot of criticism is not so much about the prayer or the ceremony being canceled, but why have a sixth grade graduation here anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a teacher. There's a lot of research shown that, you know, kids who are applauded for their achievements, you have these transition events. It helps promote academic engagement and relational engagement, and continuance of education.
But couldn't you do some other sort of ceremony or some other kind of thing rather than a graduation ceremony?
I think a culminating ceremony. Scrap the little gowns and hats and all that kind of stuff. It just makes parents pay money. Go in your nice little dresses and suits.
This sounds like a school fundraiser to me. Well, anyway, this is a trend, the sort of taking my ball and going home thing, where there was the prom where somebody wanted to bring their same-sex partner, and they said, we're not having a prom, but then they had prom anyway, but it wasn't prom.
You have your private prom, not canceled, not sponsored by the school. Yeah, all sorts of things.
There's really, what is the limit for bigotry here? I mean, how far are you willing to go to preserve your closed-minded way of life?
I don't know. There was a non-school sponsored prom in a town that they did their first integrated prom, which is just I'm amazed by that. You know, the school would rather not sponsor a prom and have other people host private segregated white only parties for the end of the school year. I don't know the limit of bigotry at this point.
Now, are these people in Lake City, Arkansas, is this school being run by a bunch of six-year-olds? Because this is the kind of thing that I see, like, if I don't get my way, I am going to make a gigantic stink, and I am going to make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that this one parent who complained, who is so far anonymous, is basically being seen as the person making a gigantic stink. I mean, the kinds of parental quotes that we're having here is, we're taking a stand for God, we feel like our rights are being taken away. I mean, it's amazing, if you look at some of the televised newscasts of this, you have parents being quoted saying, it's not fair to take our rights and give them to someone else. Sorry, that was never your right to begin with, to proselytize to a captive audience.
God loves you, unless you're the opposing football team of that football team in Texas who runs through those wooden signs like the Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah!
I don't know.
One of the parents said, quote, we are not trying to be pushy or ugly to anybody. We just want them to know that there is a God who loves them. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
There's a flying spaghetti monster who loves you.
And that goes back to the trolling group theory that I've got, is if these people, that's the thing is,
smell a road trip.
Yeah, they have the establishment clause thing. They understand that there is an establishment clause, and you can't go to the capital and say, hey, let's all be Catholics, or hey, let's all be Baptists, because there's an establishment of religion clause. That actually protects them, because if we suddenly stop being a secular state, that means we're a sectarian state, which means we're gonna have to pick one. And even in just Protestant Christianity, there is such this widely diverse weirdness that goes on. Are we going to be the kind of church that allows snake handling, or the kind of church that doesn't allow snake handling? Are we going to be the kind of church that believes in communion, or are we going to be the kind of church that doesn't do communion? This is just in Protestantism. And so it keeps that fight away. So they understand that. But what they don't understand is religion is not just Christianity. If you're going to have the establishment clause, you're going to have to let the other religions in too. And that's why you see in places like Louisiana, where people are coming in and saying, well, we're going to have religious stuff. And then, like you said before, you know, somebody brings in a Quran and suddenly everything falls apart.
You know, one of the things that's just amazing here is that it neither means that it can be just Christianity, but just an ecumenical Christian thing is not good enough to prevent the establishment of religion here.
Yeah.
And so just by saying, hey, my daughter is closing the ceremony with her own Christian prayer and we're having a pastor from a different denomination come and do the opening invocation, that's not good enough. You're still establishing a religion. You're still promoting religion from a governmental school system pulpit to a captive audience.
Absolutely. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. In a moment, we are going to visit some old friends, some old arguments which we all love.
Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful it cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul, save the universe!
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Root.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics.
And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing.
On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you.
Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
So what does everybody want to play?
Something new?
Something with guns. Lots of guns.
Something that supports playing other than combat, you knob.
Jerk face.
All right, how about Dead Stars from Dame and I Publishing? It's a sci-fi game that uses the Universal Decay rules. This system has an emphasis on social and technical skills, yet allows technical characters to make thousands of different weapons.
Hey, psionics.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be a bug with big freaking guns.
Shapeshifting tech head for me.
Check out DameandI.net for the sci-fi horror game Dead Stars, or to get involved in the community forums. Dead Stars, now available on Amazon.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences, and more. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's number one source of atheist videos.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. My name's Sam. With me is Becky again. And Nick, who you haven't been on in a while, have you?
I know. It has been a while.
Yeah. So... Well, glad to have you here today, and for something fun. If you're not familiar with Dennis Prager is a socially and politically conservative talk show host, columnist, and author. I've talked about him a bit on the blog. I actually talk about him a little more often in person at bars, because he's one of those people who has a very evangelical Christian approach and a very faith-based approach, and he keeps making these arguments about how religion is better than atheism, and he specifically attacks atheism with some seriously weird arguments.
It's interesting. He has a very Judeo-Christian, foundation. He was raised in a Jewish household, but he very much is aligned with a lot of the same kind of evangelical Christian rhetoric.
Yeah.
So
he started a project called Prager University, undoing all of the problems of education 5 minutes at a time or something like that. It's these series of 5 minute videos that talk about stuff, you know, conservative stuff, whatever. But there's specifically one about religion and atheism and the concept of reason versus faith, that it was just a whole bunch of arguments that we've all heard before, but they were put in a different place and they were given a new coat of paint. So sometimes I think it's worth going back and going through the old arguments. So this is Peter Kreeft, who's a philosophy professor at Boston College and a pop author of Christian apologists. So he's Boston College, which is not Boston University.
No, Boston University is a large large university in downtown Boston, and Boston College is a Jesuit college. Both are very well regarded in the in the region, but Boston College is a Catholic university, so yeah. It's Catholic and religiously based all the same.
So I'm going to throw out the first argument right now because it's an argument that we're all expecting. He is making a logical argument for God based off the loop of the basically recursion. Creation has a creator, therefore there is a creator, therefore God. And right out of the way, the first argument that atheists love. So let's just do that one. Just mention it. Who created God? If creation has a creator and everything has to be created by somebody, and God exists, therefore God has to have a creator. But that's not the kind of thinking that Christians like to do.
But then who created the God creator?
And it's infinite recursion. So let's get that done. But let's start with the video. This is audio track from the video. You can go to askanatheist.tv, catch the link. But here we go.
Is it rational to believe in God? Many people think that faith and reason are opposites, that belief in God and tough-minded logical reasoning are like oil and water. They are wrong. Belief in God is far more rational than atheism. Logic can show that there is a God.
Okay, right out of the gate, he's got a problem. If logic can show there is a God, that's not faith. Faith is, as far as I understand, it's not something I've ever really felt, but faith is believing something, evidence or not, lack of evidence, whatever, right?
Right. If you have the evidence or if you have a logical argument, then you wouldn't need to have faith, and it would be called something different.
Yeah. And he's suggesting that faith and reason everybody sees oil and water, but faith and reason can coexist. You can believe in God through logic. You're not using faith. I'm willing to grant that faith and reason can coexist.
In the mind of one person?
In the mind of one person. But I think there is sort of a diametrical opposition when you try to apply faith and reason to the same subjects. Is, I think, what the lack is there.
If you look at the universe with common sense and an open mind, you'll find that it's full of God's fingerprints. A good place to start is with an argument by Thomas Aquinas, the great 13th century philosopher and theologian. The argument starts with the not very startling observation that things move. But nothing moves for no reason. Something must cause that movement. And whatever caused that must be caused by something else, and so on. But this causal chain cannot go backwards forever. It must have a beginning. There must be an unmoved mover to begin all the motion in the universe, a first domino to start the whole chain moving, since mere matter never moves itself.
This is what we talked about at the start.
A modern objection to this argument is that some movements in quantum mechanics, radioactive decay, for example, have no discernible cause. But hang on a second. Just because scientists don't see a cause doesn't mean there isn't one. It just means science hasn't found it yet. Maybe someday they will. But then there will have to be a new cause to explain that one, and so on and so on. But science will never find the first cause. That's no knock on science. It simply means that a first cause lies outside the realm of science.
Okay, so here we go. The realm of science. I think here he's making a confusion of religion and science. He's talking about science as if he understands it, but then when he does when he acts cognitively on his knowledge of science, he uses a religious basis. And I'm going to talk about that a little more. But here, the realm of science, he's talking about it as a static box, as there's this box that has science in it, and this is what science does. When we talk about what science has learned and the process of science and what researchers do, the realm of science is not a static box. It changes as we discover things. Knowledge changes, we get better, things that were mysteries to us are no longer mysteries.
And the big thing that I heard from that last clip was, I don't know, therefore God. And that's what has been happening over the past several thousand years. Anytime we didn't know anything, it was just explained with deity.
Yeah, this is going to be a theme through a lot of this, is I don't know, therefore God.
Another way to explain this argument is that everything that begins must have a cause. Nothing can come from nothing.
Okay, see Lawrence Krauss on that one. Just, yeah, go check it out.
So if there's no first cause, there can't be second causes, or anything at all. In other words, if there's no creator, there can't be a universe. But what if the universe were infinitely old, you might ask? Well, all scientists today agree that the universe is not infinitely old, that it had a beginning in the Big Bang. If the universe had a beginning, then it didn't have to exist. And things which don't have to exist must have a cause. There's confirmation of this argument from Big Bang cosmology. We now know that all matter, that is, the whole universe, came into existence some 13.7 billion years ago, and it's been expanding and cooling ever since. No scientist doubts that anymore.
Not necessarily true. Here's the thing. There are a small number of researchers who think the universe may be older or younger, and I'm not talking about the 6,000-year-old young Earth creationist theory. There are still people who think that the universe might be younger on the order of 10 or 12 billion years, and there are people who think the universe might be older on the order of 16 billion years. It's a box of probabilities that is closing as we get more facts. And as research is done, this is the process of science. It's sort of backwards from religion. A long time ago, some old guy said something important, and that stands. Where in science, things have to change as new information is gathered.
Even though, before it was scientifically proved, atheists called it creationism in disguise.
Okay, that current affair type noise that you hear is him citing an article. Actually, he's displaying a bit and the headline of an article. Now here, it's not really a site, but we did some looking and we looked it up. This is a guy named Michael Rivero. I've never heard of him. He's an atheist, and he did write an article, saying that the Big Bang is a type of creationism. But he also seems to be a conspiracy theorist. Becky, you did some research on this, right?
I did do some research on him. He has a lot of things out there, from issues of 9/11 truth and Obama and birth and, you know, all sorts of things. One of the things that just really, really gets my goat in this, so to speak, is that, both this guy, Michael Rivero, and this Pete Kreeft, doctor of philosophy, talks about how science proved things. Scientists never prove things. Proof is reserved for mathematics and the field of mathematics. Science looks for evidence, gets a lot of evidence, creates a theory based on data.
Socially, what he's doing is he's finding an atheist who doesn't like the Big Bang theory, and he's suggesting that it represents the position of atheists. This is not the common perception among atheists. I have not met a lot of atheists who don't like the Big Bang theory. It's like if I came up to him and said, "Hey, why do you handle snakes? What is with the Christian snake handling thing?" And he goes, "Well, I don't handle snakes."
Either that or just having the Westboro Baptist Church saying that, you know, Fred Phelps represents you because you're a Christian and so is he.
Right. Yeah, had to get your Westboro Baptist Church in.
Now, add to this premise a very logical second premise, the principle of causality, that nothing begins without an adequate cause. And you get the conclusion that since there was a Big Bang, there must be a Big Banger. But is this Big Banger God? Why couldn't it be just another universe? Because Einstein's general theory of relativity says that all time is relative to matter. And since all matter began 13.7 billion years ago, so did all time.
So I think there's a misunderstanding here that he's got. I am not a physicist. And if you are a physicist and you are on and you're listening to Ask an Atheist, I'd love an explanation of this, and I'd like to talk about it on the show. But it seems like he's understanding that the beginning of the universe was the beginning of time. But he's expecting that because there are multiple universes and there was some sort of substrate in which the Big Bang cosmology existed, that there was time before then. That may not be necessarily so. We have no idea of what physics were like in any potential pre-Big Bang environment.
So there's no time before the Big Bang. And even if there is time before the Big Bang, even if there is a multiverse, that is, many universes with many Big Bangs, as string theory says is mathematically possible, that too must have a beginning. An absolute beginning is what most people mean by God. Yet some atheists find the existence of an infinite number of other universes more rational than the existence of a creator, never mind that there is no empirical evidence at all that any of these unknown universes exists.
No, I'm going to stop him there. he's right. There is no empirical evidence for the multiverse theory. It seems mathematically possible, but it's interesting. Now, I actually do find multiverse theory a lot more plausible than the idea of Christianity. What we're looking at is, if it happened once, it's likely happened often. Natural processes tend to seem to recur. When we talk about the universe, we tend to think of our little corner of it as not particularly special, that the rest of the universe operates like ours does. And that's sort of the same argument that I use for aliens, is if it happened here, it's really likely that it happened somewhere else. I won't say the same thing for the Big Bang, because there's not a lot of evidence there, and I'm not an expert, and I don't really know it well enough to say. But it does feel better than Jesus to me. It seems a lot more plausible.
Yeah, it's another instance of, I don't know, therefore God.
Yeah.
Let alone 1,000 or 1,000,000,000. How far will scientists go to avoid having to conclude that God created the universe? Here's what Stanford physicist Leonard Susskind said. Real scientists resist the temptation to explain creation by divine intervention. We resist to the death all explanations of the world based on anything but the laws of physics.
So I'm going to stop him there. What we have here is the God did it thing. I don't know that this quote necessarily has anything to do with atheism. I think it has to do with, I think atheism can be completely left out of it. The God did it explanation for natural philosophy comes from a time when natural philosophers were all clergy with marching orders from some religious figure. To make science happen, researchers in Terra Incognita had to always push God back to discover things. For so long in our history, God has been the natural explanation for natural phenomenon because we didn't know otherwise. So I think it's clear to think that when you see God in a scientific argument, that might be it might be something we just don't understand.
Yeah, the fact that the scientific process arose or was capitalized on at a time to basically sort of say, hey, I want to see what other explanations there are besides God makes sense as to why scientists resist using God as an explanation. Also, science uses evidence to discuss explanations, and so far we don't have evidence of the existence of God, because God is not a testable question.
Yeah.
Yet the father of modern physics, Sir Isaac Newton, believed fervently in God.
He also was an alchemist, a Unitarian. He probably would have gone in for the Celestine prophecies had he been around for them. He was a genius. He was very good at what he did, and he brought a lot of stuff to science. And he was a scientist. But he was a real scientist and a real guy who did real research 286 years ago. That's it. We know better things now. We know more about the universe. If Isaac Newton was around today, who knows what he would think? I mean, the Celestine prophecies thing is mostly a joke.
I think that that Mr. Kreeft is assuming that all of us atheists are deifying scientists of yesteryear.
And that's the problem. For the side of atheism, he's quoting recent researchers, and for his side, he's quoting for people who've been dead for at least 300 years. The professor here is treating science like religion. Just because some guy said it when he when we still had to pee outside and was right about a couple things, doesn't mean that everything else he said was golden. We take the good, we leave the bad. We test again. What works, we keep. What doesn't work, we move on.
Is he not a real scientist? Can you believe in God and be a scientist and not be a fraud? According to Susskind, apparently not. So who exactly are the closed-minded ones in this debate? The conclusion that God exists doesn't require faith. Atheism requires faith.
Wah, wah, wah.
It takes faith to believe in everything coming from nothing. It takes only reason to believe in everything coming from God. I'm Peter.
Yeah, so that's Peter Kreeft.
Face palm.
So if closed-mindedness is believing everything came from nothing, and logic is believing everything came from God, what is it when you say, I don't know? Is that an open mind? When you admit that you don't know what's going on around you, that you're willing to look at the evidence, that you're willing to make observations and come up with educated guesses based on the observations that you've made. What is that? Is that closed-minded? Because that's where I'm at, and that's how I arrived where I am today. We say on the show all the time, agnosticism and open mind is a statement of knowledge. Atheism is a statement of belief. Were I ever to find any proof that there might be something other to something else than atheism, that there is a God, that there was some sort of creative entity going on, I would be forced to change. Show me the proof. Just logicking it out with logical fallacies and assuming the conclusion isn't proof. It's, I can't buy it, and Dennis Prager's listeners shouldn't buy it either.
Well, I think he's probably, he doesn't even mean closed, like closed-minded or being open-minded. To be open-minded, you would, in his eyes, you would have to agree with every single thing he says, and that's not open-minded. That's just being a sheep.
That is exactly what we're talking about. Now, that point where he said the Big Banger,
like I said, insert joke here.
Yeah, insert the joke here. At that point, when he said the Big Bang requires a Big Banger, go home. That's his whole point. That's all he's got to say. After that point, we can keep going. Everything else is just supporting that idea. And that's an untestable idea. What we have is this idea that something had to cause the Big Bang. It could also be a mechanistic thing. It could also be a natural process. Just because we may prove or not prove that the Big Bang happened doesn't necessarily mean that we have to believe that God exists, had sex with an Israeli teenager who died, became a zombie, took a 3-day vacation in hell, and is now God himself. There are more things you have to prove to me in order for me to buy your supposition, and these people are definitely Christians, so this is what they're trying to prove to me. There's a lot more steps that you have to prove to say that Christianity is true than you have to say that there might be more than one Big Bang. He's making a false equation here.
I'm more inclined to believe in the Arctuthis God myself.
That's pretty good. Maybe we'll explain that sometime. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. I need some water, but we have a lot more news to go through.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding area? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Billy! I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode!
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England, I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go!
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
to the sun. One more, one more. Lord, I'm trying. Said I'm trying to see. I said, where? And I said, where? And I said, where? No! One more flame against the face of the sun. One more flame against the face of the sun. One more flame against the face of the sun.
Wow, so do not adjust your sets. This is still Ask an Atheist. That was Cloud of Smoke by Body Box, and for the first time I'm actually a DJ. And that Body Box is that's your band, Nick.
That is my band. I play bass. And I hop around the stage sometimes with a yellow afro wig.
So we do you hold a John 3:16? I suppose you can't do that if you.
Yeah.
So if you like that and that's interesting to you, the reason we played it for you today is Body Box will be doing the Ask an Atheist fundraiser this Friday, June 21st. At Louis G's in Fife. It's a great venue. It's one of the best sounding venues I think either of us have been to.
It's a really great, it's a big stage. They have really good food. Chris is an awesome sound engineer. They have a great PA. I can't say enough nice things about the place.
It's Louis G's, June 21st, $10 at the door at Brown Paper Tickets. You can go to askanatheist.tv and pre-order if you would like. So we have a call, right?
Yes, we do. We got Sydney on the line from Mississippi, who is a South African expat.
Okay, Sydney, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very good. So what have you got for us?
Well, I just wanted to say I just found your guys' podcast on iTunes, and I've been catching up, and I really enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
It's very informative.
Well, that's I'm a little surprised. It's always a bit weird when I get calls like this one.
And so, Sydney, are you yourself a non-believer? Are you an atheist? Do you identify as an atheist or with a religious upbringing?
I am an atheist. I have been an atheist for about 12 years now. I left South Africa being an atheist, and I've been over here being an atheist, but not really open to everybody that much because it's very difficult. I was more open when I lived up in New England. I lived up in Boston for a couple of years.
Okay.
And I found it very, you know, a little bit easier over there than down in Mississippi. I live in rural Mississippi, which is, I mean, it's just a taboo.
Ouch.
So have you found anything going on, like what we were talking about earlier in the hour with different schools, any prayers in public spaces or any kind of discrimination you've faced?
Oh, yes. It's all over the place. I mean, it's all over down here. You can't drive down a rural road and see a Jesus sign or crosses outside in the front yard or, you know, banners up in school or those school signs, you know, those signboards they have outside in school. There's always a, you know, a Bible phrase on there. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it can be really complex, I think, sometimes in certain parts of our country, that confluence of freedom of personal speech and freedom of speech in public places versus religious speech in public places from government entities and government and school. And I think that, you know, like some of the parents that had commented on the sixth grade graduation prayer can be very kind of confusing, where they think that that's perfectly endorsable and okay as well. And so it's an interesting perspective that you have living in
so many different places of the world.
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you what, though. I grew up in South Africa in the apartheid era, you know, when there was segregation,
yeah.
where blacks were, you know, condemned to be in one side and whites were, you know, they had all the privileges. And that really got my mind started thinking, you know, where do these people come from? Why are white people, you know, being so hateful on them? If God made everything, then God made these people as well. So why are all these white people hating them?
Yeah.
And, you know, that started getting my mind, you know, going. That when I started asking questions, and it just, you know, escalated from there over the years. And that's what ended up now.
That's pretty interesting. That's a really cool story. I mean, just wondering why people are making these associations, and it's amazing the number of hoops that religious people will jump through to say that these people who are also made by God are somehow less. But because we believe what the science has to say, which is evolution, that we are somehow demeaning humanity.
Look, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you something, it's horrible, because the way that I grew up is, I don't mean to, you know, say it in a bad way, but you know how white people have like a, I don't know what they call it, like a cow lick on the top of their hair, you know, where the hair swirls around a little bit?
Okay. I have long hair, so it does weird things. I'll go that far.
Go on, Sydney.
No, like, you know, like your hair, you know, like will swirl in one place a little bit or something like that.
Okay.
And in my country, in South Africa, they used to believe that that was, when you had that kind of hair, and every white person does, that means that you had a halo. And black people don't, because their hair was all frizzy.
Really?
That means that they were made from Satan.
Oh my goodness!
I've got a better approach. That hair is there because you're spiritually at the bottom of a sink. How about that?
Oh, yeah, and it's just swirling down. Exactly. No, that, I get your point. But that's what they used to tell us in school. It's horrible.
Yikes!
In school?
In school, yes.
Oh, my
that's
dear.
That's what they taught us in school. We had our history classes in school was the Bible. That's what we were taught as history in school was the Bible.
Wow. Sydney, we're
but
coming
thankfully,
up.
Thankfully, I'm sorry.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour, but it sounds like you're about to wrap up anyway. I would very much like to continue this conversation. Can you do me a favor? Go to askanatheist.tv and send us your contact info so that we can get in touch later.
Oh, sure. I can do that. No problem.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your
thank
call.
Thank you. It was nice talking to you guys.
Nice talking to you.
Really compelling stuff there that would, you know, have that being taught. And I think that we're just lucky to see so many things progressing forward in so many different areas of the world.
Wow. I had never heard that before.
A way to justify to little kids the mythology of the fact that you are better. You are blessed by God with your halo.
Yeah, Mike's not even here, and I'm being very anti-religion today, and that's going to continue. We're going to take the synthesis of the second segment and what we have now and talk about this email, which is Paul from the U.S. He was wondering if we had heard about the lead singer of the Christian metal band As I Lay Dying. He tried to have his wife murdered, and the reactions of their fans, including saying things like, "The witch probably deserved it," and then when you preach about Jesus is about love and peace, this seems pretty hypocritical.
I do agree, Paul.
Now, As I Lay Dying, you are sort of the local music snob. Tell us about
I guess.
I Lay Dying.
I don't know. The first time I heard As I Lay Dying was when I was about 16 years old, which would make it about 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounded like another generic speed metal band to me. I couldn't understand a thing they were saying. But I ended up I read some of these lyrics, and it just sounded kind of like the guy wanted to slit his wrists.
Yeah. So he contracted with somebody to have his wife killed. Is that what was going on here?
Yeah, he's under arrest for that. And you know, one of the things that that has really come up is that his fans have had this incredible response defending him. And you know, the quote you read was altered for to be clean for radio.
Okay. Well, Greta Christina did an article about this recently where she was applying, she was saying, she's looking at the Twitter feeds and people who were responding to this story and the kind of stuff that they were saying. And it is really terrible. And, Becky, thank you for editing this. Which must be crazy/annoying. She probably deserved it. Tim Lambesis is still someone I look up to. Free Tim Lambesis. Everyone wants someone dead at some point, and he just had the money and the things to do it. Do it even if he didn't succeed. Props, dude. It's definitely his wife's fault. No way Tim just does what she must have been one crazy person, and people using the hashtag, she probably deserved it.
No matter, like, if you're in any kind of band that has any kind of notoriety, if you're able to tour around the country and make a living out of it, you're going to have fans that think that you are infallible. They will literally deify you.
Well, that's sort of my question. Is Greta Christina's argument is that this is an expression of Christianity, because As I Lay Dying, and I listened to a couple songs, and it sounded like production music Pantera to me. It was, and I'm more into that kind of music than you are. And it, so she's wondering if it's Christian stuff. But the thing is, like I said, I'm a fan of this music. I kind of hung out with these people, and I'm worried that this is less Christians, more metalheads, because I don't really associate this, and there's friends of mine who are going to kill me after saying this on the air, is I was really into metal and I thought about the scene and stuff like that, but then I got kind of out of it because the people I found myself associating with, I didn't particularly like, had really racist, sexist, really stupid political beliefs. And after a while, I stopped wondering. I spent so much time trying to fight those parts of the scene that I just started wondering if I was in the wrong room. So maybe this is just two bad things that go good together. I don't know.
Or two bad things that go bad together.
Yeah.
Crazy confluence of Christians who like metal or metalheads who also like Christian music. I'm not sure. I mean, in Christianity, you would presumably, you know, elevate someone because they're pious and they're dedicating their work to, you know, promoting the word. I'm not sure.
So, you know, that's a debate I would like to have. I think we can say that if Tim Lambesis is a Christian, paying somebody to have your wife killed is not, you know, okay. That's a statement that we can talk about his piety and his religion. When we start talking about the response of his fans, we have this culmination of potentially Christian weirdness, of, you know, the fandom that you were talking about, and my concern of metalheads.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that these hardcore As I Lay Dying fans have no card line to cross.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, the card line. That's exactly it. Is maybe for me at some point, metal, you know, being in that scene, it just became too much. The political stuff became too much for me to bear, and I got out of it. Maybe, and these people, they really like the music. People identify strongly with music. You were talking about earlier in the hour that music can light, like, the religious parts of the brain up, and then people have a religious experience with music.
Yes.
And so when you put all those that together, you put bad ideology, a crime and fandom and religious experience. So maybe there is a religious center to it, and it speaks to some of the bad things that humans do when certain parts of their brains get lit up.
I think that would be an excellent thing to investigate further. I hope that we never have any more examples to investigate, because please stop putting hits out on your wives and fans, stop glorifying that.
That's what I just said. That's why I used the word deifying your idols.
No, deifying, that was a very, in hindsight, yeah, that was an incredibly good use of the word. That's really good. And so the "she probably deserved it" hashtag, we should probably talk about that for a minute. How about we reclaim that? I made my wife dinner. She probably deserved it.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I bet you Becky likes that one, too.
You know,
I gave my mom flowers for Mother's Day.
She probably deserved it. It is Mother's Day. Yes. Wow. I went the whole hour forgetting that it was Mother's Day. I am so sorry, mothers.
Hi, Mom. I love you.
It is Mother's Day. Please remember those who were quickened in a vat, the vat grown, who have no mothers. That's my usual joke for the day. So
mothers and folks of all stripes, I think, can appreciate the fact that, well, most of us will not be glorifying or deifying any musicians or scientists or anyone with terrible actions.
Yeah, I think we'll be revisiting music and religion again at some point. Music, religion, atheism. That's a subject that you and I have been wanting to put together for a while.
I could make a couple shows out of that, actually.
Yeah, but we really need to start talking about that, I think. And I think this may be what it takes to get us started. I mean, this might be the jumping off point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all the time we have for today. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me was Rebecca Friedman and Nick Kennedy. As usual, our music is by Chris Coleman, Phil Whitfield, and this time Body Box. So you can see June 24th at...
21st.
21st. June 21st at Luigi's. Wow. You can give us a call at 206-420-0997 or questions at askanatheist.tv. Post show is at the Swiss, 1904 Jefferson Avenue at 5 p.m. Never been there before. Should have fun. See you next week.
Play Radio, your conversation station.